Chapter 5. Let them think bad thoughts about you. One of my favorite poets is Mary Oliver. And in her poem, The Summer Day, she asked this iconic question. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I don't know what your answer to Mary Oliver's question is, but I do know this. Whatever it is that you plan to do, other people are going to have an opinion about it. In the next few chapters, you're going to learn how to use the let them theory to stop allowing other people's opinions to hold you back from pursuing what you want to do and limiting the potential of your one wild and precious life. You have no idea how big of a problem this is, and neither did I. You know, it's easy to put on a facade that you don't care what other people think, but the reality is we all do. Here's the truth. People will have negative opinions about you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to change this fact. And when you allow your fear of what other people think to stop you from doing what you want to do, you become a prisoner to other people's opinions. This fear impacts every aspect of your life. It makes you procrastinate. It makes you doubt yourself. It paralyzes you with perfectionism. It's the reason why you overthink everything. This is where that fear ends. It is time for you to give people the freedom to think whatever they want. Let them. It's time to set yourself free and let me make the small moves boldly and unapologetically that over time will transform your entire life. The Let Them Theory was a gigantic wake-up call for me in this regard. I knew that I worried about other people's opinions. We all do. But I had no clue how big of a problem it was until I started saying let them. Let them judge. Let them disapprove. Let them have their opinions. Let them think bad thoughts. Let them talk about me behind my back. See, right now, you may not realize this, but you are moving through your life with other people's opinions as your roadmap. You take a left turn or a right turn based on what you anticipate other people might think or say, rather than making the turn you want to make. And when you navigate your life trying to predict what other people are going to think and say about you, you are giving your power away. Instead of overthinking every single move you make, what if you just let them think whatever the heck they want to think? I mean, imagine a world where you could just make decisions and not worry about it. It's life-changing to free yourself of this burden. Remember the fundamental law of human nature? You can't control what another adult says, does, or thinks. And when you try to, you'll regret it. The more you let them think what they want, the better your life gets. What if you just gave yourself permission to live your life and you gave other people permission to think whatever they want about it? What if you pour your time and energy into your hobbies, your habits, your happiness? Let me ask you this question. What change would you make if you weren't worried about being judged? What is something that you're afraid to admit that you want? What belief are you nervous to be more vocal about? What have you been too scared to try because you've never done it before? What challenge or race or adventure have you been secretly just yearning to do? What do you wish would happen at work, but you're just too afraid to ask? What conversations have you been avoiding? What picture have you been waiting to post? That last one really hits home for me. Let me tell you a story. 10 years ago, I was just getting started in the motivational speaking business, and I was brand new to the speaking industry. And like a lot of new businesses in the beginning, there was no money. To get started and to get my foot in the door, I would reach out to small women's conferences. I'd pitch myself to speak for free. And if you're starting a business or you've ever wanted to, or you've got a side hustle that you're working on, or you've started making money online, for example, through social media, you're probably nodding your head because you know exactly what I'm talking about. In the very beginning of starting anything, you're putting in a lot of work with zero return. I started getting frustrated that a year had gone by and I was getting better and better on stage and the audiences were getting bigger, but my bank account was getting smaller. Why? Well, because I was working a full-time job during the week and doing these speaking gigs for free on the weekends. This was during the period of time when my husband and I, we were struggling with massive financial debt I mean, I'm talking $800,000 in debt. I was unemployed. My husband's restaurant business was going under. We had secured the business with our entire life savings. There were liens that had hit the house. I mean, I felt like I had failed at life with no hope of ever escaping the debt. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but when you are struggling that much, the simplest things feel impossible. And for me, that meant getting out of bed or opening up the bills that have been piling up on the counters or putting a smile on my face and pretending like everything was okay. And here I was trying to get groceries on the table. So I was highly motivated to try to figure out how to make money as a motivational speaker. And so what I did is I asked a bunch of the more experienced speakers for advice on how do you start getting paid, which is what I recommend that you do in whatever business, venture, or side hustle you dream of launching. See, every business has a formula. Follow it. And I say that because one of the things that I see people get hung up on all the time is this belief that you need to be different. That is a fancy way to say that you're afraid other people are going to think that you copied them. And this is yet another example of how your fear of what other people think is holding you back from following the most obvious, easiest, and most proven path to success. Stop it. Let them think you copied them because you did. And they copied the formula from someone else because they did. Formulas exist because they work time and time again. You don't need to worry about being different because you're going to make it unique because you will be putting yourself into the formula. Do not reinvent the wheel. Follow the formula and use it to your advantage, which is exactly what the experienced speakers told me to do. Every successful speaker was doing the exact same three things. And in any business that you want to launch, the successful people do the exact same three things. And until you do these exact same three things, you're not in the game. So here's what the experienced speakers told me to do. They're like, Mel, number one, you got to build a simple website with photos of you on a stage, plus a description of your keynote and the main takeaways from your talk. That's number one. I'm like, got it. Number two, get testimonials from a few event planners from your past events that you've spoken at. Doesn't matter that they didn't pay you. You were still there. It's legit. And then put those testimonials on your website. Got it. Then they said, and here's the most important part. Number three, you have to start posting about speaking online. Turn your social media into your marketing channel. Post photos from events, post content related to your speech, post photos with the event planners that are hiring you. Social media is how people find you. Social media demonstrates that you're a player in this industry, Mel. And social media is what's going to lead people to that one-page website so they can book you. That's the formula. Follow it, and you will start getting paid. So armed with that advice, I knew exactly what I needed to do. Plus, the stakes were really high. I needed the money to get my family out of debt. I was very clear about what I needed to do. Did I follow the formula? Not really. No. Yeah, I created a website. Sure, I asked for a few testimonials, not from everybody because I was too afraid that they might be, you know, thinking bad things about me, but I asked for a few testimonials. I put them on the website. But did I post on social media about my business? Nope. See, at the time, my social media was personal. It was filled with photos of my kids, pictures from family trips, the selfies that I was taking with friends. All of the people that followed me were either my family, my friends, or former classmates. I had never posted anything about my desire to become a motivational speaker or the fact that I had been doing it for free for over a year. And if you've ever wanted to use social media to launch a business or promote some new aspect of your life or to share your art, you know how hard it is to look at your current account that has only photos of your personal life and make a decision that you're going to turn this into a marketing channel. You want to know how long it took me? to do that third step? I want you to just stop and think, okay, how long did it take Mel to follow this advice? It took me 2 years to start posting about my speaking business on social media. Why? Because I was afraid of what people would think. And if you're thinking, well, who were you afraid of, Mel? My friends. I worried that if I stopped posting photos of my kids and pictures from barbecues and get-togethers with extended family, and I started posting photos of me speaking at conferences, that people would judge me. That they would see a photo of me on my social media or online on a stage, and they'd say to themselves, who the heck does she think she is? Who the heck is hiring her to speak? I mean, what does she possibly have to say? What a phony. I tried to post. Maybe you've had this experience too, where you create something to post and then you just panic and you start to question it. I mean, I would literally thumb through my photos from the event I had just spoken at. I would select one or two photos and then the fear would kick in. As I drafted the caption, I would start to feel worried about what other people's opinions would be. And then I would start to question myself. I bet you can relate to this. I'd literally be sitting there about to post. I'd be like, wait, does this sound too arrogant? Is this caption professional enough? If I post this, I bet people are going to unfollow me. Will my friends think I'm full of myself? Should I start a separate account and just do this from scratch? And then I would convince myself, oh, it's not worth it to post it. I'll look at this later. You want to know why? Because I had burned through so much energy trying to craft the perfect, most compelling, and marketable image and caption, something that would both promote me and ensure that no one would think a negative thought about me, that I exhausted myself. And since we just talked about unnecessary stress, you know that I was stressing myself out, which was draining my energy and draining my confidence. I created hundreds of draft posts, and they just sat there in my drafts for years. And when I did get that jolt of confidence and I would post a post, I'd leave it up for like 5 minutes and then I would check it obsessively. And if there weren't as many likes as I wanted or the comments weren't as positive as I had hoped, delete. This stupid fear of what other people thought kept me from marketing my business, something that I wanted to make my full-time career for years. I gave other people's opinions more weight and importance than my own ability to get ahead in life. Talk about giving your power away. And when I look back at it now, it makes me sad. When I think about how you're stopping yourself right now from putting yourself out there, it makes me sad for you. I stopped myself from taking the actions that would have helped me achieve my goals, make more money, get out of debt, be able to buy nice things for my kids, and get a lot more clients a lot faster. I mean, isn't that stupid? Of course it's stupid. And yet, I'm sure you struggle with the same fear when it comes to putting yourself out there in a new way or a bigger way, whether it's your business or your art or your music, or maybe you want to start a YouTube channel. Or maybe it's just posting a photo of you in a bathing suit. Here's the truth. If you're censoring yourself, there's only one reason. It's because you fear other people's opinions. That's why you cover up your acne with a filter. It's why you insist on standing on your good side in every photo. And this is the same reason why you don't speak up at meetings at work. You're afraid to look stupid. Online, you're afraid to look bad, and at work, you're afraid to sound bad. Same thing. You're afraid of what other people will think if they see the real you. And here's the problem with this. Every time you edit what you post, or you stay silent in class, or at work, or you hide in the back of the group photo, you are engaging in self-rejection. You're the one telling yourself that you're not good enough. And this constant questioning and editing and deleting and overthinking and putting on the filters and asking other people, does this look good? It only magnifies your self-doubt. And you want to know the crazy part? You're doing it to yourself. I did too. And most advice on this topic, it sucks. Most people are going to tell you, stop caring about what other people think. But no one tells you how. It's easy to say, don't give an F. But it's impossible to do it. It's time for a new approach. Using the let them theory, you're going to learn a revolutionary approach to squashing this fear once and for all. And here it is. Give people the freedom to think negative thoughts about you. It is a radically beautiful idea that I am going to unpack in detail. And when you let people think negative thoughts about you, it unlocks your confidence, it frees your self-expression, and it will catapult you into a whole new chapter of your life, your career, your happiness. This is amazing. Give people the freedom to think something negative about you. Let them. It not only works, it's science. You have zero control over someone else's opinion of you, so it is stupid to waste your time trying to manage it. The fact is, it's impossible to control someone else's thoughts. Therefore, fearing what other people think or trying to control their thoughts is a complete waste of your time. You will never feel in control of your life, your feelings, your thoughts, or your actions until you first stop being consumed with or trying to control what other people think about you. I'm going to say it again. People will have negative opinions about you, no matter what you do. Why? Because people are allowed to think whatever they want. In fact, let's just unpack this from a neurological standpoint. It is physically and neurologically impossible for you to control what somebody thinks inside their own head. Just consider the fact that the average human being has about 70,000 thoughts a day, most of which are completely random and cannot be controlled, which is why it's ludicrous to waste any of your energy worrying about what other people think or try to change what they think. You can't even control half the thoughts that pop in your own mind. Why the heck do you think you can control what pops up in someone else's mind? You can't. It is scientifically impossible. That's why the let them theory is so revolutionary. Instead of fearing other people's opinions, you're just going to allow them to think what they want. In fact, I recommend that you assume people will think negative thoughts about you, because people do have negative thoughts about you. This is normal. And by the way, people who love you think bad thoughts about you every single day. I have bad thoughts about the people I love every day. This is normal, and I'm going to prove it to you. So I'm going to go first and give you some examples, okay? When my husband Chris wakes up, he usually lets out this huge fart. It's like, it's like a duck or something. It's this weird, like, sound. My first thought, that's disgusting. I love Chris. I love him more than any other human being on the planet. But I have bad thoughts and negative opinions about him all the time. Same thing with my dog. At 5 p.m., our dog Homie, so annoying because it's dinner time. He follows me around. He pants like crazy. He jumps up on me. And you know what I think? He's a giant pain in the ass. He needs to chill out. He's too needy. Those are negative thoughts. But I still love him. My oldest daughter, Sawyer, who I wrote this book with, is a complete control freak. And when things aren't just right, she gets so overbearing and so intense, and she goes into this OCD spiral, and it just stresses everyone else out. It's so annoying. But I still love her. Every time our middle daughter, Kendall, FaceTimes me from Los Angeles, it feels like she's wearing a new outfit. I think she's irresponsible with her money. And the last thing that she needs is more clothing. But I still love her. And our son, Oakley, well, Oakley's literally perfect. No, I'm just kidding. For the first hour Oakley is awake, he refuses to make eye contact and speak to people. I think he is rude, but I still love him. And by the way, I asked my kids and my husband, give me some adjectives that you think about me. You ready? Messy, disorganized, loud. Over-friendly, all over the place, controlling, always late. She's a know-it-all. And they also have a lot of opinions about how much I share online about our life. And yet, they still love me. Sawyer also wanted you to know that the experience of writing this book at times was so frustrating. I nearly drove her to sever parental rights with me because of the number of times I would blow up this manuscript. For context, this is the 11th version of it that we wrote in a year before it was done. Why am I telling you this? Because everyone has critical opinions about the people they love, and they have critical opinions about total strangers. It's a fact of life. Embrace it. Accept it. Instead of trying to change reality, which is driving you crazy, use it to your advantage. Let them. Here's another truth. Just because someone has a negative opinion doesn't mean they feel negatively about you as a whole. I can think a bad thought about my husband and still love him and treat him with so much respect and kindness. And this is something that the let them theory and the two parts, let them and let me, has taught me. Two things can be true at once. You can be annoyed by the way someone is acting, and you can still love them. And isn't that how you feel about the people that you love? You love them deeply, which is why you have such strong opinions. You think their friends are bad influences. You think they're overreacting over dumb things. You think their boyfriend treats them poorly. You think their business idea is going to fail and it's stupid. You think they're acting self-centered. But you still love them. My point is simple. People will have negative opinions about you and every single thing you do. Let them. Let them judge. Let them react. Let them doubt you. Let them question the decisions you're making. Let them be wrong about you. Let them roll their eyes when you start posting videos online or you want to rewrite the manuscript for the 12th time. Instead of wasting your time worrying about them, start living your life in a way that makes you proud of yourself. Let me do what I want to do with my one wild and precious life. This approach is so liberating because right now, you're living your life and making decisions trying to anticipate what everyone is going to think. And when you let the fear of what people might think, something you'll never be able to control, when you let that fear dictate your choices, you limit your own potential and you hold yourself back from pursuing what's meant for you. This fear of other people's opinions, it's the reason you procrastinate. It's why you doubt yourself. It's behind the perfectionism and feeling like you just have to get it right. Why do you need to get it right so that nobody has a negative opinion? And most importantly, this fear is why you wake up every day and you avoid the work that would actually help you get ahead. I did this for years. You're so afraid of judgment that you're not taking any of the risks. Isn't that what you're afraid of? That you'll be judged? That if you get divorced or you quit the real estate business or you go back to school or you cut your hair or you try out for the soccer team and get cut, that everyone's going to have an opinion about it? Of course they're going to have an opinion about it. So what? This stupid fear is stopping you from trying new things. It's stopping you from taking risks and being yourself and making the moves that over time will change your life. How sad. I did the same thing. The let them theory will help you be more courageous. Doesn't it seem smarter to just accept reality instead of working against it and give people the freedom to judge? If you can't control what someone thinks, there's absolutely no reason why you should be afraid of it or allow it to stop you. Your time is way more valuable than that because you, my friend, you've got important things to do with your one wild and precious life. And starting today, you're going to grant people the freedom to think negative thoughts about you. Let them. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're kind of nodding along and you're like, yep, you're right, Mel. Let's do this. But you're going, I don't want people to think negative thoughts about me. I know you don't. Neither did I. But the fear of what other people may think is a major source of your self-doubt. I'm going to say some sentences to you, okay, that you probably say to yourself. Sentences that stop you in your tracks and make you doubt yourself. And I'm going to ask that you consider the sentence. And then I'm going to challenge you a little bit, okay? So when you say, I'm not good enough, for whom? I'm not smart enough. For whom? Well, they're going to be mad at me. Who's going to be mad at you? My parents wouldn't approve. They'd be so disappointed. So? Well, if I do this, no one's going to like me. Who's no one? What will my friends think? Whatever they want. Does this make me look bad? To whom? Every one of these common fears. Did you notice? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. They're going to be disappointed. What will they think? It's all tied to other people. That's why I am going to hammer this fact over and over again. People will have negative opinions about you and your outfit and what you just said and who you're dating and what you did last week and what you want to do with your career. Let them. Adults are allowed to think whatever they want to think. Let them. So are you. Let me. This is why the let them theory will set you free. Because instead of living your life on the defense, you are going to get on the offense. You're going to play the game of life the way you want to. Let them think what they want and let me do what I want. Because here's another truth. You are so much stronger and cooler than anyone's opinions about you. Stop giving your power to other people and step into your potential. That's what's available to you right now. Let me live my life in a way that makes me proud. Let me make decisions that align with my values. Let me take risks because I want to. Let me follow the path my soul is turning me toward. Doing what makes you happy, being brave, taking risks, following your own path, will always be more important than other people's opinions about it. This is your life. Stop letting other people's opinions ruin it. Write the book. Ask them out. Wear what you want to wear. Go surf all day. Go back to school. Drop out of school. Move. Get a dog. Book the trip. Stop drinking. Embrace your sexuality. Take the path you've been scared to follow. The more you use the let them theory, the more you'll realize that underneath this fear of other people's opinions, your soul has been nudging you all along in the direction that's meant for you. And every time you say let them, you clear all of the noise and distraction that's on the surface. And you create space for something deeper. Your voice, your intuition, your truth, and your unique path in life. It's always been there. It's just been buried beneath this fear. And as you use the let them theory to free yourself of the burden of other people's opinions, you're going to begin moving through life with your values and your needs, and your goals as your roadmap. Instead of anticipating what other people might think, you'll be navigating your life in a way that makes you proud of yourself. And that right there is the secret. When you are proud of yourself, you hold all the power. And this brings me to a very important point about prioritizing your needs while also maintaining supportive and loving relationships. The point here is not to move through your life as a selfish or narcissistic person who doesn't care about other people. The point is learning how to put your needs first as you're balancing what works for you with the expectations and feelings of other people. I mean, in life, you don't want to be a doormat, but you also don't want to be an inconsiderate bulldozer. It's a balance. And we've already talked about this earlier in the book, about how the let them theory puts you in balance with other people. But I want to unpack this because I get a lot of questions about guilt. And this is one area where you're going to find the let them theory is incredible. So let's say you have a crazy busy weekend coming up. On one hand, you've got this close friend celebrating a big milestone birthday, and it's one of those really fun weekends where all your old friends are getting together to celebrate. But for you, it means you got to make a 4-hour drive to get to where the party is going to be held. And you know that the right decision for you is absolutely make the effort, be there. But on the other hand, you had promised your parents months ago that you would come home this very same weekend because your grandparents are visiting. Now you want to do both. You want to be a good friend. You want to be a good kid. You want to be a good grandkid. So you move heaven and earth to drive 4 hours north of the city to be present for the Friday night festivities to celebrate your friend. And oh my gosh, it was a blast. You are so glad you made the effort and you went. You stayed up late. You laughed with your friends. You downed a bottle of wine. It was awesome. And then the next morning, you wake up at 7 a.m. You roll out of bed, you pull on your sweats, you leave a note saying you're sorry to miss out on the rest of the weekend. You get back in the car, you drive another 4 hours to get back to your parents' house to spend the rest of the weekend with your grandparents. Now, as you're driving on the road, how do you feel? You're proud of yourself. You're proud of yourself for making the effort. You're proud of yourself for figuring it all out. Little do you know, as you're driving down the highway to your parents' house, the birthday girl was apparently upset that you left and turned to all your friends and said, I don't even know why she bothered coming if she could only stay one night. Let her. It's now 4 hours later. You're at your parents' house. You're a little hungover. You're a lot tired. You roll out of the car in your sweats. You run up to your grandma who's so excited. She is teary-eyed. And oh my gosh, that one hug makes the 4-hour drive worth it. Then you turn and you go and hug your mom, and she whispers in your ear in the crankiest tone, your grandmother was so disappointed you weren't here when she arrived last night. And you're thinking, what? And then she adds, you got to hurry up, get out of those sweats. We got to leave for lunch in 10 minutes. Go change. Let her. I'm telling you this story to prove two important points. Number one, even when you bend over backwards and try to please everyone and make it work and go way out of your way to do everything in one weekend, even that won't guarantee that other people will think a positive thought. Let them. Second, and this is the most important point. Don't be the person who bends over backwards to make everyone happy. I used to be that person. You want to know what it does? It makes you depleted. It makes you feel like nothing you do is ever good enough. Now that I know the let them theory, I bend over backwards, but I do it to make myself happy. Let me explain. See, the reason you make a Herculean effort to show up at both your friend's birthday party and to see your grandparents is that it makes you proud of yourself. Don't go to your friend's birthday so they think you're a good friend. Go to your friend's birthday because it makes you feel like a good friend. Don't go home to see your grandparents because it makes your mother happy. Go home to see your grandparents because it makes you happy to prioritize your grandparents, your parents, and your family. See, when you operate in a way that makes you proud of yourself, it doesn't matter what other people think. Because other people are going to be mad that you left early, or they're going to be mad that you arrived late. Someone is always going to be disappointed by the decisions that you make. Don't ever let that person be you. And don't let guilt drive your decisions. Because when you go to your parents because you feel guilty, you've now turned your parents into the villain. When you choose to go because you'd be mad at yourself if you didn't, you're in control of your decisions. Do you see how that works and why it's so powerful? That when you make decisions because it makes you feel like a good daughter or a good friend or a good colleague, that's what keeps you in control. And this was a very straightforward example of how you can use the let them theory to stop worrying about what other people think and let your values drive your decisions. But what do you do in those moments when your opinion and someone else's opinion really do clash? Like, what if your mom doesn't like the person you're going to marry? What do you do then? I've been there.